And you know, if you're on your back for a while, like you're like the water from your eye is gonna roll down. Does that happen to anybody else?
I'm not really on my back.
Okay, I know that's right. Tell us your story. Fuck this story. What I'm talking about. What you mean you ain't on your back?
Let's sit on the couch. Let's talk it out. Come on, join the show. I'll tell you what I know.
Oh, talk about it.
It's the best podcast. Let's have a blast.
The one money-making industry that will never go away is fitness, because we will all always want to be a better version of ourselves, whether that's look or feel. But sometimes it's a little bit deeper than that, you know? Caring about how we look can also stem from traumas, disorders, and even scrolling on good old Instagram and all the social media platforms. But today, we're talking about, and this is not funny at all, right? I'm just a little sick in the head. Body dysmorphia and how it affects and how it relates to social media and sex at that. And maybe we'll dive into some other stuff. But you know, I cannot do this alone because I need a little expert in this field. So joining me right now is fitness coach, Legendary Cole. That
legendary.
Is Legendary Cole, my bad.
Legendary works
we
too.
I need information on that. But Patrick, okay. AKA Perfect Pat, is here. What's up?
What's up, guys? How are we doing? Hope everybody's well. Hope everybody's sitting cute. It's a good day today. How are you doing? Are you good? What's going on?
I'm okay. I could be better if you explain to me why is your hole legendary?
It's done some legendary things, and it looks absolutely superb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
The hole is holing. For sure. I ain't even gonna hold you. The hole is holing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that being said, I want to talk about the body today.
Let's talk about the body.
So before we get into it, you know, body dysmorphia is a mental health condition in which, you know, we can't stop thinking about one thing or more perceived effects or the flaws in our appearance. Mm-hmm. And that flaw is actually kind of minor. And some people do not even see it. It's a head thing, right?
True.
So what are your thoughts on body dysmorphia?
I feel like it's a very broad question, but it's a thing. It's real. Mm. I feel like most people have it, and I feel as though it takes form in terms of like unrealistic goals.
Yeah,
we'll start there. I feel like, yeah.
So I agree with you 100%. So I'm one of these people who actually has body dysmorphia, right? It's shown up in a couple of ways. And I'll actually say, at one point, you were my coach at one point. Mm-hmm. So you have a little bit more insight when it comes to my body or like how I speak or perceive myself, right?
Right.
Do you struggle with body dysmorphia at all?
Yeah, not only in the sense of comparison, but there are times when... I wouldn't say body dysmorphia.
Okay.
Yes, but to this exact example, no. I'm going to tell you what the fuck I'm talking about. Now I'm talking in circles.
Yeah.
You know when you look at yourself and you're like, oh, maybe my legs look small, or I feel like I look fat today, or I feel like I look skinny today, or I feel like whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't the direction of which you want your needle to move, you may see it, but others may not.
Okay.
So I find it harder to speak up on it than for it to actually not be a thing, because sometimes it is a thing. Like there are days where I'm like, man, my ass feels small, or my ass looks small.
Why would you think that?
And because there are days that my ass is actually smaller than others, and there's other days where my ass is as big as the sun. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like it differs, but to me. But then somebody else hearing me say that would be like, bitch, you're tripping.
Right. And I have that same problem when it comes to like me and my like stomach gut area, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I actually associate myself with like obesity because I view it as something that's massive or larger than it is, right? Mm-hmm. Because I had this head thing and I've been so consuming social media for so long. And so trying to differentiate the two has been a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. But then also when I have friends that are even bigger than me, they're taking it as like an insult. And so I have to like counteract that. Mm-hmm. Been in that place?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be like 315 pounds, so yeah, bitch, been there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, how did you get, what do you mean you correlated or you are like in sync with obesity? I don't get it.
because I don't look a certain way in my head, it is, you know, fed to me that I am that. And so it's
obese,
just,
though?
It's a mental thing.
Are you aware of what obese is?
I am. I am aware of what the definition is.
Like, there's differences.
There are differences. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, wait. I want to go back to you, though, because speak to me about, you said
315 pounds. I was huge. I was like 19.
So why'd you make that choice to?
One day I woke up, I just didn't want to be fat anymore. Honestly, like that was the real shit. I remember going up the stairs in my mom's house was a challenge, like hefty breathing.
Yeah.
I was a walking house and it just wasn't cute. That wasn't cute for me. And it definitely stopped me and held me back from doing things that I wanted to do. And along this journey, now that I'm 30 and able, like I am a coach, like it's really dope being able to call myself an athlete, to compete with athletes. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I will say that. Very happy I made that change, but.
That's amazing.
Your girl was tired.
Congratulations. Thanks. Okay. But you know, like we're in LA and so this city is the model. It's this only place that you can go to really. And people are like working out four times a day.
Wildest thing ever.
Like, and everybody wants to be a model. Why is that? And is that healthy in your opinion?
No. Because scientifically speaking, training is just another stressor on your body.
Yeah.
Also, people in LA have like 17 jobs. Everybody's out here working like Jamaicans because the cost of living is so damn high. It's just another stressor on your body. It's not going to produce the results you think it's going to produce. A lot of people do not know the science behind these things. Or a lot of people don't play the long-term game. A lot of people play the short-term game. Oh, I'm going to Coachella in a couple of weeks. I need to drop X amount of pounds. Oh, I'm hopping in front of the camera. I need to gain X amount of pounds. And they go to these extremes and really fuck their metabolism up. And then they hit 30 and they wonder why these old tricks aren't working anymore and why they're hitting plateaus. And they meet a coach or they come to me, or like I've so many people have crossed my path in this regard. Like, I don't understand, nothing's working. I tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this and that, and I'm like, well, this is why. You've damaged yourself, but we can fix it. It just takes time. So the tip there is play the long-term game, not the short-term game.
So what are your body goals, right? Because you started at a point to where it was 300 plus. Now you are, you know.
It's honestly being able to perform well and pushing myself to new limits. And I don't want to say that like it's a Nike ad. But like if that's, I find myself now more so working on my mentality, my relationship with food. There are long-term effects that go with like being where I was to where I am now. And like my relationship with food, like leaning on food for like emotional issues or bouts that I'm going through and things of that nature, and being able to understand what it means when your body is having a craving and like things like that. And how to address it when it happens.
That's a lot, though.
It's a lot.
For an average person, right?
Yeah.
And that's not like your expertise. It's just like sometimes it's draining.
100%. And it's so much more easier to be said than done. Like, just be like, oh, well, Pat, well, don't eat that. Or, oh, Archie, don't do that. Like,
right, right.
Really, bitch? Okay, yeah, I'll just get right on that. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's much harder to implement than it is to simply say.
Do you think that working out consistently, though, kind of increases a body dysmorphic mindset?
If you're solely working on it for, only if you're doing it in terms of comparison. If you're working out to look good because you want to quote unquote look good naked, whatever your goal of good is, if you reach it, you reach it.
Yeah.
As long as you don't continuously compare yourself, where you live in a tough world, that's an issue, but.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to me, like, as a coach. Let's put our coach hat on. I guess yours is always on all the time.
No, it's not always
on. Oh, it's not? Nope. What hat did you walk in here with?
That bad bitch hat.
We love that. But as a coach, how do you help your clients who are actually making progress but aren't seeing it when they look at themselves?
Well, as a coach, I address far beyond the normal aspects of what a trainer was. So I always say I'm a coach, not a trainer. For example, like a trainer will only address the scale.
Yeah.
My thing is, how is your sleep? How are your stress levels? If you're a female, if a female client of mine, what are our periods telling you now versus what they were telling you before? How are your hormones and your regulation? How is your stress and your stress mitigation? These are things that matter, because these are things that are going to affect your energy, affect your mental, and therefore affect your whole day in a positive sense or a negative sense. Mm-hmm. Getting 5 hours of sleep. You wonder why you don't have any energy and you need 6 cups of coffee a day? Well, look at God. Now you don't need that, because we've really implemented and put an emphasis on sleep. Mm. And now you really only need 2 cups of coffee a day.
I don't drink coffee. You drink coffee?
I do, in the morning.
Yeah.
Not a necessity, but I do.
Mm-hmm. So what about as a coach, how do you teach your clients to accept, and this is big, their genetic makeup, opposed to like what they want to see on social media?
That is more so of like a realist moment. Okay. Sometimes I don't even have my coaching hat on for that. It's more of just like, Patrick, like, this is who you are. If a female client comes to me and, you know, if she's of, let's say, I don't know, if she's, okay, so she's black. And black women are curvier. Thank God. Shout out to all the beautiful black women out there, period. And she's worried. She's trying to become a stick. I'm like, baby, that's not in your future.
Yeah.
Especially not a healthy one.
Right.
Like, true. I know the girls who are eating cotton balls and ice cubes, and I'm not playing.
Really? You've seen it in real life?
Yes, 100%.
Because I heard the cotton ball dipped in orange juice.
Sure. There's probably all kinds of tricks these days.
Oh, wow.
But that's not even, you don't even have a healthy, realistic goal. Mm. Like, this is who you are.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain things about people that it's just like who you are. Like, when one of my friends, she has a big butt, like, naturally. She's like, yeah, I need my butt to be smaller because I'm trying to model. And I'm like, baby, that's who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you can lose weight, sure. You can do some things that are like, take away from your ass, but you're never going to be that flat-backed girl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, this is who you are.
Who wants a flat back?
Period. I don't know. But man. I'm always make sure to set realistic goals with my clients.
Okay.
But when that happens, it's more so just Patrick talking versus like, this is just person to person. Like, baby, you gotta step away from what people tell you is beautiful or a necessity for you to be in a specific industry, because it's bullshit.
That's real. Okay. So, Legendary Hole.
Yes, that's me.
Have you always been comfortable in the bedroom with your body?
That's easy answer. No. I was young.
Yeah.
You know, like, unfortunately, as gay men, especially gay black men, we have to learn hands-on.
Yeah.
Coming up in, like, the early 2000s, I mean, I was born in 91, but I wasn't clearly having sex then. But coming up in the early 2000s, being a sexually active teen, you have to learn hands-on.
Yes.
I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have somebody. Like, we have, like, us now, and we build a community now, and we hopefully will impact the future gays down the line, sure, in a positive sense. And they'll be able to come to us and talk to us, and they have the internet. And, like, you know, I was, I'm of the age of the internet. Mm-hmm. So, learning about what makes me comfortable in bed was a hands-on experience, and even it's forever shifting for me.
Mm-hmm.
So in a good way,
like, what you wanted then has changed from now,
baby. Yeah, and it should.
Yeah,
it should. I believe you should grow as an adult, as just a human being. We're consistently growing. Mm-hmm. I believe that you should grow as an adult, and that includes sexually. If you still pumping out the same sex you were having 15 years ago, baby, that pussy is whack.
Oh my God. Okay. You know, that's honestly okay. So there was an article that was published by The Guardian, written by Pamela Steffens, titled "My Body Dysmorphia Means I Can't Let Go and Enjoy Sex." It examined, you know, not being fulfilled sexually because of this body trauma, and because this is a treatable disease, actually, right? Like, we can cure this. It's of the mind. How do you leave those insecurities at the door? Because to me, you know, you're a very confident person, especially now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to leave. I have to lead with confidence. I used to be really shy, so that's why I lead with such confidence, and I'm boisterous about, like, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that they're left at the door. Like, insecurities will still, like, come up. It's because I'm always going to think, like, what does this person see? I'll never know.
Yeah.
But I always contemplate, like, what does this person see?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to front and act like they're left at the door, because they're not.
Right.
Like, bitch, they in the bed with me. They right there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just always going to be a part of life. But that don't stop me from being a hoe with the right man.
What'd you say?
Maybe I should change the wording. That doesn't stop me from being a slut with the right man.
Oh, there it is. Wait, why hold a slut?
Slow, there's the difference. A hoe is like somebody who sleeps around a lot.
Okay.
And a slut is like, you can be a slut with one person, I think. Maybe I could be wrong.
No, that's real.
But
yeah,
like if people, like people me and my man, like if I have a, like if I had a partner, like we're you can believe we're slutting each other out for sure.
Who?
Not hoeing each other out. If I had a man, 100% you can believe we're slutting each
okay,
other
yes,
out.
Okay, yes.
Without a shadow of
I heard we and I was like, huh?
No.
Okay, got it. Are we still going? We're still rolling? Okay, the show still got it. Okay. So I know that you've also been in relationships, right?
Yes, I have.
You've been in relationships. When I met you, you were in one.
I was.
Have you seen this show up in partners?
100%.
Yeah?
I think that a part of being a partner is working through, knowing that everybody has insecurities. That includes you and your partner. Mm. And not only seeing them, but understanding them, talking about them. I'm all about communication. A bitch can talk, a bitch can understand, a bitch can comprehend. So
you're very smart.
I am. Mm-hmm. I am very smart. But I think in relationships, a large part of that is not only knowing your partner's insecurities, but understanding that you are their partner. I do not use the term boyfriend. Mm. You're their partner, so you're going to work through that with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's tough work. Like,
yeah.
That shit
I got
is,
left at the door. So
that, that shit is tough work.
Yeah.
Like you can work through some insecurities on your own, but there's gonna everybody's gonna always have insecurities mm-hmm. about something. Finances, emotionally, physically, whatever it may be. And as a partner, you kind of take those on too. Mm-hmm. Not kind of, you do.
Yeah.
You take those on, you have to stand beside your partner as they're taking steps to get through it, if they want to get through it.
I'm gonna stand beside them.
Okay. That's right. My man, I'm gonna stand beside him.
Okay, what was your weirdest sexual encounter?
Oh, Jesus. Cause there's been a few. Oh, like I'm 30 again. I was having sex as a very young teen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was late with that.
You told me.
Yeah, like
this conversation.
I was in my 20s.
Yeah, mine I was 15, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young slut. no, I had a boyfriend back then, but yeah. A weird encounter. It could have been my first time. It wasn't the best time. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't the best.
Oh, it got a little dark.
Not that. It's so my first boyfriend was abnormally large. Mm. Like his dick is abnormally large. Am I allowed to say that on here?
Say it.
Okay. I don't know what's going to be broadcasted. Listen, I don't give a damn. His dick was abnormally large. So, Devin, if you're watching this.
Who? We name dropping?
I don't give a damn.
Okay. Let's talk about some more names.
So, his dick is abnormally large, and he was very sensitive in the sense of, like, clearly I'm a virgin. He's like,
yeah.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. Cool. Fast forward, one day we're having sex. Mm. And, like, I'm on my back. Mm. And you know if you're on your back for a while, like, you're, like, the water from your eye is going to roll down. Does that happen to anybody else?
I'm not really on my back.
Okay, I know that's right. Tell us your story. Fuck this story. Fuck what I'm talking about. What you mean you ain't on your bag? Tell me yourself. Go ahead. Goddamn. So then he like put his face like he was inside and he brought his head down to mine and he felt the tear. He thought I was crying. And I was like, no. Oh, it just like it was just one of those things where I just fell
passion
out of my
was
eye.
Happening.
Yeah, it just fell out of my eye. So then he was like, no, I'm hurting you, and he pulled out quickly, and I was like, no, now that shit hurt. And yeah, it was a really awkward time.
And you're always receiving things.
Yeah. Are you asking if I'm a bottom?
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask that with your chest, please.
Well, you know, listen, let me tell you this. Because today you have to be so politically correct. I don't know if mm-hmm. that's a new word still. So is it still in?
So the way I always ask somebody is like, how do you identify in the bedroom?
Okay. How do you identify?
Me. I'm a bottom.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay, where the camera at?
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all hoes about to shame me.
My gosh. Okay, so how does one step away from body dysmorphia? As a coach, what do you say?
It's something that, again, you play the long-term game with it. Whatever you have an issue with, like mm-hmm. you have to address it. You have to begin to accept yourself, even if you're on the road to change it. If you're like, you know, I want to gain 20 pounds and you feel like you're scrawny, you're skinny, whatever, like still accept where you are today mm-hmm. and then consistently just work at whatever it is that you're looking to get to. Mm-hmm. If you're scrawny, if you feel you're fat, if you feel you're too thick, if it's changeable, bitch, change it.
You know, Lil Nas X told us to be delusional, though, recently at the war show. In he said, way? Be delusional, because he said, if I wasn't delusional, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, I've recently come to in my era in life where, bitch, I'm living in delusion.
I am like, delusional
I'm
every
just,
day.
I'm just going to...
This show is a big delusional
I'm going to do what I want to do, and shit's just going to fucking work out.
There you go.
Like, but it's also in this... some people are like, well, if you could see yourself there, that's a bit of delusion.
You know, yes, you know when people ask me, like, oh, how did you get here? What's your advice? I'm like... I'm crazy as hell.
Bitch, I'm rolling the dice.
I still believe in myself, and sometimes I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel that. I believe that. Like,
but yeah, okay.
Live in a land of delusion.
So when Kim said, get your fucking ass up and work, how did that make you feel as a coach?
Girl, fuck her.
How did that make you feel as a coach?
And I don't feel any, I'm so tired of the Kardashians. I don't like them as a black man, no.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about them, I'm not joking. Fuck them, bye.
No.
Including Kanye. Sell that ship over and just set the ship on fire.
What about Travis Scott?
No.
Mm-hmm. Lamar?
Who?
Odom? Okay.
Oh. Lamar Odom. Okay. I was so lost.
Okay. So what are your thoughts, though, on, you know, social media, right? And how because I know for me, I've been on social media for a very long time.
Okay.
Especially, like, in the gay community, in the black community, everybody is feeding into these different, like, social media photos, and it's shaping the mind, not necessarily for the positive.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah?
What's your question?
How do you feel as living in this world? Because, like, you're very active on social media. You're very active in the black gay community.
I am.
You know?
I think it's important to remember that social media is all about making it look good.
Yeah.
I think it's also very important. Like, that's why I said, like, remember, like, know your reality. Mm-hmm. And know what reality is. Like, just because you see somebody winning right now, right? You see them up. You see them doing it big. A, that doesn't mean that that's actual and factual for them. I'm not saying be a hater and question it. I'm just saying keep that in mind. Because niggas love renting a Lamborghini when they get to Hollywood. But anyway, but also understand that that person probably worked their ass off. Like, people are going to see this episode and be like, oh, must be nice to have your own podcast and to have cameras and professional footage and da-da-da-da-da. Do you think the bitch just fucking arrived here? You know what I'm saying?
I've been doing this since 15.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people have, like, keep that in mind. So because you see it in 2022, you said you've been doing this since you were 15. Like, bitch, you're seeing it now.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Right. I think that'll help you bring, it'll help you bring yourself back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully slow the comparisons down. It's really hard not to compare. I've been there. Sometimes I'm still there, bitch. Sometimes my car is parked there. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. But bring yourself back down to earth and understand that social media is all about making it look good. Like, there's literally a market of social media now that's like, this is what I actually look like. This is what is actually happening. Like, because social media is all about making it look good.
Right, right. Okay.
So keep that in mind.
How are you dating?
No one's serious right now. No.
Okay. So when we say that, what does that mean?
No one. So I'm very good at compartmentalizing, specifically niggas. So there's quality and there's quantity. How you present yourself and your actions after that will put you in those boxes. If you come to me like, you know, just basically trying to fuck, I'm 100% not against it. We can get it crunk. I am not against that. But if you are somebody, again, who is seeking quality, trying to get to know me as an individual,
right,
I will, if it is something that I want, I will definitely put that best foot forward. It's all about, it's for me, it's either or, and you're not stuck in either box.
Are you on the apps?
Some, but I don't be paying attention.
Why?
Because, like, I don't, none of my notifications are on, so it's when I remember to click into them.
When I was on there, none of them was on either. And
my notifications aren't on any of them, so sorry. If somebody's messaging me and they're like, you know what? Fuck you. You haven't replied back. Bitch, I done forgot about the whole app. Not just you, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, they can follow up in DM, maybe. Because I'm sure your DMs are lit.
I don't know why people think that. There are times that my DMs have been lit, but 9 times out of 10, my DMs are fucking chill. My DMs are not.
Mine are dry.
I'm not somebody who fronts. Like, if my DMs are fucking lit, bro, my DMs are lit. There's been times where I'm like, I cannot believe that my DMs are blowing up like this. It's dick and ass all through this bitch.
I've never had that experience.
What?
No.
Excuse this?
People, you know, have this perception of me.
What do you mean you've never had this experience?
I've never had that experience. Can you make it happen?
For you? Sure.
Yeah, up to that series.
100%. 100%. I am very comfortable talking about sex.
Okay.
We can do a whole other episode talking about sex. I don't care. We can shoot it right after this, girl. Okay. I don't care. Okay. But Yeah, it's really easy to steer a conversation to,
yeah,
like, talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Okay.
What now you, I know. So are your DMs, like, dry? Is it, like, yeah, at least men of interest in your DMs?
Do I got to wrap it up? Okay. They are not popping. I will say that. But you know what? It's like bookings in my DMs. It's like, oh, when are we coming on the show? Anywho, that's what it is. But we should talk about that. That should happen. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, though, for joining me, though, because I feel like there are great takeaways, especially as this is your niche when it comes to the body. Mm-hmm. But then also just been so much insight, because I didn't know your hole was legendary.
Yeah. She's legendary. But it's like a quiet legendary. Like, it's not like in the streets. You get what I'm saying?
And that's what we like.
I like my business between me and the partner.
Mm-hmm.
Or partners. Contingent on what's going on.
Or share with me after.
Hey. Okay, we could keep the cameras rolling, bitch.
What's up, family? Thanks so much for tapping into this episode. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube and Instagram and wherever you get your podcasts from for listening pleasure. Don't miss our weekly Millennial Conversations Pod Post Edition right here. My name is Archie J, and thanks for joining me today.